Are you firm in your faith? Do you know the things you believe? Are they helping you in this time of crisis? I would hope that they do help you. We share an affirmation of faith each week at Daleville Christian Church. Today's from the Apostle Paul in his letter to the Corinthians, called the second letter, in the fifth chapter. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old has gone, the new is here. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation, that God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them. And he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. God's word for today is from Matthew chapter 10 and just the 16th verse. Jesus' instructions as he sends the disciples out. Look, I'm sending you out like sheep among wolves. Therefore, be as shrewd as serpents and as harmless as doves. May the Lord add his blessing to this reading of his holy word. As I hope many of you did, I listened with you last Sunday to the sermon. I was also listening with you on Easter. As I listen to myself speak, I have wanted to be even-handed in dealing with the crisis that we are still in. The word crisis means that decisions have to be made. I believe last time that I revealed my prejudice to be conservative in our attempts to reopen the country, as we are calling it. So today's message is, of course, from our Lord Jesus, a word to you and a word to me. Jesus' call to all of us is to be wise as serpents. Is it strange that I have not heard any pastors reference this warning from Jesus during the pandemic? Jesus and Jesus' generation did not have any science or modern medicine or statistics to inform anyone about disease. Disease was then, in Jesus' day, seen as an enemy of the people. Sickness was also viewed as punishment. And this explains, to some extent, the rejection that the Pharisees often showed to those who were sick, especially lepers and the mentally ill. It wasn't just that the law of Moses said for lepers to be removed from the people. The explanation often considered was that the leper must have offended God to be so afflicted. The mentally ill were seen as beset with demons, possessed. Demon possession was often viewed as cooperative. The possessed person caused the demon possession through disobedience to God or by participating in evil, or a phrase that was used in our own country long ago, the possessed were seen as consorting with the devil. So Jesus the Messiah came healing, driving back the forces of darkness, driving back the forces of illness, illnesses of body, illnesses of mind, illnesses of the soul. Our Lord Jesus healed everyone who was brought to him, and Jesus healed them from all their diseases, the gospel writers are insistent to say. Matthew is explicit about it. Matthew, who was an eyewitness, three times Matthew states Jesus was healing every sickness and disease. So Jesus is with us now, and Jesus is for us in our present fight against the coronavirus. Jesus is with us and for us in our present fight against the coronavirus. Now, having said that, and knowing that it is with this confidence in this fact that some pastors have invited people to continue to worship in large crowds during a contagious pandemic, that's wrong. And I'll tell you why. Jesus showed us why that is wrong. It is wrong to court disaster. Satan himself tempted Jesus to throw himself off the high place just in order to show that God would protect Jesus. Satan tempted Jesus to go into harm's way just so God could demonstrate God's power and demonstrate Jesus' sonship and demonstrate Jesus' messiahship. The idea came from Satan. Jesus did not take the bait from Satan. What did Jesus say when it was suggested he put himself in harm's way? Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Or another way it is stated in another version, do not put the Lord your God to the test, quoting Deuteronomy 6:16, or thou shalt not make trial of the Lord thy God. So if Jesus calls us to be wise, wise as serpents, I believe we can conclude that testing God is not a wise move on our parts. Pastors, take another look at your Bibles. And I invite everyone to hear Jesus' words as we explore Jesus' meaning when our Lord said, look, I'm sending you out like sheep among wolves. Therefore, be as shrewd as serpents and as harmless as doves. Jesus is giving evangelism instructions to the disciples, but are these words not also present-day advice for us? When we go out as sheep among wolves. The wolves in our case today are the viruses. Some say the virus is mutating as we speak. We are sheep, we have no protection. We have no protection yet against this virus. So Jesus' advice to all of us, be shrewd as serpents and as harmless as doves. I want to focus on serpents today. That doves are harmless is a statement right out of ancient medicine. I won't explain it, but other translations say the dove is innocent or faultless. And I can't help mentioning that doves are acceptable animal offerings in the temple of the living God in Jerusalem. So there's a sense of purity about the dove. So let us turn our attentions to the serpents that we are called to be like. We begin with the words for serpent in the Bible, and we find basic proof that the Bible is not a scientific textbook. Five words are used and are variously translated: serpent, snake, viper, adder, and cobra. The King James Version, with a few other versions, adds the term asps as one of the translation possibilities. They are often used interchangeably in the Bible, although modern science will tell you a viper is not a cobra and a cobra is not an adder. These are specific types of snakes. The Bible writers either didn't know or they didn't think it was important for their purposes. Snakes, the suborder is serpentes, also called serpents, are any one of more than 3,400 species of reptiles distinguished by their limbless condition and greatly elongated body and tail. They're classified with lizards in the order Squamata. Are you enjoying this? The online Encyclopedia Britannica says this, and some of you remember when the Encyclopedia Britannica came in book form. It doesn't anymore, except maybe at your library. The online Encyclopedia Britannica says this, snakes are misunderstood. Am I preaching to you? Snakes are misunderstood and often maligned primarily out of ignorance about their true nature and position in the natural world. All snakes are predators, but venomous snakes, that is, biting snakes that use their fangs to inject toxins into their victims, have given an inaccurate reputation to an entire group, as most people cannot tell the dangerous from the harmless. Only a small percentage, fewer than 300 species, are venomous. And of those, only about half are capable of inflicting a lethal bite to a human being. See, you're feeling better already. But this is an excellent time to point out that the snake or serpent is a sign of healing, right? Those are snakes on the medical symbol or icon. And God gave a serpent on a pole as a sign for the Hebrews to be healed. See John 3:14. Ever notice John 3:14 as you read toward John 3:16? Jesus was referring to the book of Numbers, chapter 21, and Jesus is also pointing toward his own self being lifted up on a pole for people's healing in Jesus' coming crucifixion. So things are not all bad with the serpent, the snake, the adder, the cobra, and the viper. Not at all bad. And so Jesus calls us to be like the snakes with regard to cunning, or some translations say wisdom. Some of you may have some curiosity as to whether Jesus saw the same snakes that we see today. Indeed, he did. I had to read part of a doctoral dissertation to bring you this information. Are you ready? Don't worry, there will be no quiz after today's sermon. There are some of the venomous snakes that are known to us that would also have been known to the people of Jesus' day. There may be as many as 37 snakes we know today that were known then, such as the black desert cobra, the burrowing asp, Burton's carpet viper, the sand boa, the saw-scaled viper, the Egyptian cobra, the puff adder, the Sahara sand viper, also known as the Sahara horned viper. And in addition, there was the red spitting cobra. Or how about any one of the viper species that would have been found in Iraq, what was then Babylon? These include the Armenian rock viper, the Persian viper, or even McMahon's viper. And the Hulupu's tree snake just might be the snake that is mentioned in Jeremiah chapter 8, verse 17. So things are not all bad, but the serpent, the snake, the adder, the cobra, and the viper, Jesus calls us to be like the snakes with regard to cunning, or some translations say wisdom. One translation, the book of Genesis, states with regard to the serpent in the garden is the translation to say that the serpent was subtle. This subtlety can easily be observed by us when any snake is waiting or hunting for food. The serpent waits for the right moment to strike. Now we can also observe that if the snake feels threatened, that is, you are not a food source, but the snake believes you to be dangerous to the snake, many snakes will warn you to stay away. The rattlers will rattle their tails. They don't want to bite you. They don't want to waste their venom on you if they don't have to. They want to use their venom to help them eat, not for fighting off threats. Some snakes can even choose to use their venom or not. I've read. The bite is supposed to be enough to get big lugs like us to back off if we won't fear the rattle or the cobra's hood. But that's what science and observation tells us. Jesus is talking to his followers about being good followers. So, like a snake, we wouldn't seek confrontation. We don't seek any kind of showdown for our faith. We don't seek to be thrown in jail for our faith. We don't seek to be put on trial for our faith in Jesus. But if we are, we are not to worry. Matthew 10, verse 19. Don't be anxious or worried about your testimony. Notice Jesus didn't say, don't worry about your health or safety, did he? In our situation, as we return to the world, we don't seek trouble. We don't go look for the virus. As I've compared the coronavirus to a tornado, we don't go out and take a picture of it as it's passing by. And like a tornado, we do not leave our shelters until it is safe to do so. Like my brother-in-law is fond of saying about the hurricanes in North Carolina, it isn't the wind that will kill you. It's what's flying around in the wind that will kill you. A good reminder to us all. You and I will never see the virus, but it could still send you to the hospital, and it could still send us to the morgue. Those are not pleasant thoughts, but we have Jesus' advice. Listen, I'm sending you out just like sheep to a pack of wolves. You must be cautious as snakes and as gentle as doves. Generally said, as my old professor wrote, our devotion to Jesus' mission is not inconsistent with the call for practical prudence. Our devotion to Jesus' mission is not inconsistent with the call for practical prudence. Practical prudence. Shrewdness. Practical prudence, which is our health and our survival. Jesus wants the evangelists to live to continue the mission. Jesus wants living disciples to carry the message of the gospel. Having said that, Jesus also warned that tough times would be ahead for the disciples. They would not be immune to suffering. You are not looking for trouble, but that doesn't mean that trouble won't find you. Being a disciple does not give any of us a free pass. Nobody has a free pass with the coronavirus, right? Am I correct in reading that we can't be sure if you had this virus once, you may or may not be immune for a second infection? So when we say no one has immunity, we mean no one. We can't even be sure why some folks do not get seriously ill while others perish with the very same virus. And if mostly the elderly die from this virus, why do children and teenagers also sometimes die from coronavirus? We are all looking for answers to these questions. And until then, and until we have a vaccine or some inoculation, we will want to remember Jesus' words that appear to be speaking to us today in a very clear and meaningful way. Listen, I'm sending you out just like sheep to a pack of wolves. you must be as cautious as snakes and as gentle as doves. And the first part of the next verse, Jesus said, be on your guard. Amen.